morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Tim Spencer. You're listening to the Rural Survival Show. Today is Saturday, December 17, 2016. This will be our final show for the year. We will be back on January 7th of next year. Okay, today we have a guest, or we're supposed to have a guest, Mr. Todd McFarland. He hasn't called in yet, but I'm sure he's going to. I got an email from him last night saying everything was still on. And he's got quite an extensive bio. So while we're waiting for him, I'm going to go ahead and read this bio. Todd McFarland is a rancher, writer, and attorney. He currently serves as the editor for the rangefire.us blog, which is an online affiliate of Range Magazine. Todd and his family own and operate the Turkey Track Ranch near the small town of Kanosh, K-A-N-O-S-H, I hope I'm saying that right, Utah. Todd is a veteran from the trenches of the Sagebrush Rebellion, having represented Mary Bullock and other ranchers in long-standing struggles with the federal government. Todd spent time in a media role in Bunkerville, Nevada in April 2014. Early on, during the armed occupation of the Mauer Wildlife Refuge in Oregon, Todd was drafted by the Lavoie Finicum family to go to the refuge and assist with PR, damage control, and attempt to help mediate a resolution of the situation. Later, he represented the Finicum family for a time immediately following Lavoie's law enforcement shooting death. Based on his extensive background with the issues and parties involved, Todd was also drafted to spend time in Portland during the Oregon standoff to provide live commentary about the trial. Beyond faith and family, some of Todd's high-priority interests include Western ranching, with an emphasis on food and fiber production, fundamental property rights, government overreach and accountability, and the Second Amendment. Given Todd's extensive experience, sorry, folks, I lost my place just a second. I apologize. Let me guess where I was at. Like I said, this is long. Oh, okay. Beyond faith and family, some of Todd's high-priority interests include Western ranching, with an emphasis on food and fiber production, fundamental property rights, government overreach and accountability, and the Second Amendment. Given Todd's extensive experience with what he often refers to as the so-called justice system, one of our favorite sayings is, what is legal isn't always right, and what is right isn't always legal. Given his deep agricultural roots, among other things, one of his other favorite sayings is an old Chinese proverb, lots of food, lots of problems. No food, one problem. I can agree with that one, folks. Politically, his basic position can be summed up in a nutshell. The proper function of government is not to attempt to grant rights, but to protect the unalienable, God-given rights of life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. Enough said. Okay, well, hopefully Todd will be calling in here in a minute. There's his bio. I think it'll be a great show if we get him on the line. All right, see what's going on in the world. well, for North America, folks, you know, this is a worldwide show, so, but let me be specific. North America, man, it's going to be cold tonight. Even here in South Central Missouri, we're looking at 4 degrees, so it's going to be cold. I'm looking here on Drudge Report, pictures of these huge winter messes, traffic accidents. I heard just south of Baltimore about an hour ago, a tanker truck went off a bridge and blew up. Yeah, this is going to be a mess. If you don't have to go out and you're in this mess, don't go out. Sit home. I'm going to. Let's see. What else is going on? Okay, I just got told that Mr. McFarland is on the line, folks, and that is great. Good morning, Todd. Are you there, sir?
I was hearing you just fine, but all of a sudden something happened with the connection. How does it sound now?
You sound wonderful. Are you on Skype or on telephone?
Well, that's why I'm running a few minutes late. I had some trouble with Skype, so I finally fell back to the landline, and it looks like we'll just have to go with that.
All right, that's great. That works. I'm actually on a cell phone. We can't get landlines here. But anyway, I read your bio already to the audience. Where do you want to start? What are some of your pet projects right now, Todd?
Well, you originally reached out to C.J. Hadley, who's the publisher and editor of Range magazine. And so, one of the things I want to definitely make sure we talk about before we're done, whether we start there or end there, is basically Range magazine and what it does and who it is, who the people behind it are, and kind of what they've been saying for some time.
Go ahead and start there. We've got 2 hours, go ahead.
We got plenty of time, it sounds like. I'm used to regularly going on the radio with Trent Luce at Rural Route Radio, and we usually spend an hour. So if we got two, holy cow, for a long-winded guy like me, that gives us plenty of time to play with, it sounds like.
Right, and people can also call in and ask questions after this first segment.
Sure.
So, yeah, that'll be great.
Well, yeah, so back to Range. Range magazine, it's a hard copy publication that's been around for 25 years, started by C.J. Hadley. She had previously been the managing editor of Car and Driver magazine in New York City and then moved to Nevada. She ran Nevada magazine for about 10 years, and while she was there, she had a complete paradigm shift with respect to what goes on in the West and all the public lands out here and the wide open spaces. And most importantly, the good people that are out there on the land, farmers and ranchers, loggers, miners, trying to scratch out a living. And she got to know some of those people and kind of had a paradigm shift. So she started this publication 25 years ago called Range Magazine, that's basically devoted to trying to tell their story. From my perspective, I think she's kind of been a voice crying in the wilderness for the last quarter century and trying to tell stories that virtually no one else is trying to tell.
Right.
So she's been doing that, and of course she's been one of the main voices that have attempted to round out the picture and tell the whole story with respect to, say, Clive and Bundy and the Oregon standoff and Lavoie Finicum and things like that, that you just can't get the whole picture if all you're consuming is news or information from the mainstream media. And so we're big fans of alternative media, which is what you are, which is what we are, and that's why we're glad to talk and continue to spread the word. So go ahead and ask questions, but I'll be happy to fill in some more blanks about Range, too, or we can come back to it. What would you like to do?
Well, whichever way you feel comfortable with going. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I got half a dozen questions bouncing around in my head already. What's your circulation looking like on Range magazine?
So, and it's interesting, as you know, hard copy papers and magazines are really struggling these days. A lot of newspapers going out of business, that sort of thing. But Range magazine has continued to hold steady with its subscriber base, continues to edge forward a little bit. So it's not losing ground the way a lot of hard copy magazines are. But having said that, we all recognize that we live in a different day and age today, and that's one of the reasons why we've added a blog, which is kind of what I'm more or less responsible for. It's called Rangefire, rangefire.us. And the other thing about Range is it's only a quarterly magazine. It also publishes books and things like that. But in today's world basically we live in the information age. People want information. They want it fast. You know, they can't wait a month or two to hear about things. And so you've got to do other things to get that information available on a quicker basis, and so that's why we've added the Rangefire blog, and we're trying to start to do more work on social media and things like that. But back to the circulation question, Range magazine itself has a circulation of about 35,000 subscribers, and so it's a niche magazine, but it's held its own and done very well.
Well, I'll tell you, the way I found out about it was a hard copy. One of my friends, neighbors here, brought me a copy of it. I think at the day that I contacted your organization, and I had never seen it before, but I looked through it, I liked it, and I said, I got to get these folks on the radio. I mean, that was my immediate thought.
Sure, appreciate you reaching out and doing that. That's one thing about CJ. She's an old school journalist. She does a great job with the hard copy magazine. You know, she knows what she's doing, and I think it would be hard to find people who would get their hands on that and have a look at it that wouldn't be impressed with the content all the way around, the photography, the substantive, informative content. And, of course, you know, she's coming at it from the standpoint, and has been from a long time, that basically out here in the West, it's kind of a battle between those people who are out there on the land trying to scratch out a living and the federal government that's trying to oppress and keep its thumb on and over-regulate and basically push those people off the land. That's really, I think, what it boils down to in a nutshell. I think that she and I and a lot of other people would agree with, you know, that that's what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you something, a quick little story, Todd, something that happened here. This has been 20 years ago. The UN came in here and tried to make this area what they call a biosphere.
Right.
They had a public meeting. They were quite literally run out of town by farmers chasing them with shotguns and pitchforks. That's not an exaggeration, with the deputies, you know, right with us, too. So, I mean, that is not an exaggeration. They haven't come back since.
Right. Well, that's exactly the kind of a reaction that should be happening. One of the challenges is, as you know, in the 20 years since then, one of the ways that they've tried to change people's thinking about that is by offering all kinds of goodies and money and financial assistance and things like that. One of my good friends who's a rancher, he always brings up this story about the wild and free-roaming pigs of the Okie-Pinokie Swamp. I don't know if you've ever heard that story before.
Yes, yes.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if I've heard his story, but I'm definitely aware of him.
Well, the story goes something to this effect, and I'll try to make it short. There's these wild and free-roaming hogs out in the Okie-Pinokie Swamp, and you know, they're really tough, and they're independent, and they, you know, out there. And everybody and their dog had been out there and tried to round them up and eradicate them and get them and had just been unsuccessful. These old guys had come in there with missing a leg or an arm or who knows what based on their encounters with these wild hogs. And then finally one day a guy shows up and says, "Hey, I've got all your pigs. They're all in a corral out there just waiting to get loaded up. I've got them. They're all rounded up." And they said, "No way. That just couldn't happen. There's no way that could happen. How did you do it?" And he said, "Well, you know, here's how I did it. I just went out there and started offering a little free corn. I just went out there and started chumming them up. And at first, you know, those old crusty ones, they wouldn't even consider it. But those little ones, they started coming in, taking the free corn. And the next thing you know, more and more started taking the free corn, more and more wanted the free corn, and before you know it, they were all coming in, eating the free corn. That was a whole lot easier than doing what they were doing, and before you know it, I just closed the gate. I had them.
Yep.
All I had to do it was offer free corn." And that was basically his position. That's what the federal government's been doing with a lot of us that have tried to resist their efforts. They offer this free corn, and before you know it, they've got us in the corral, and they just shut the gate, and we're stuck.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they haven't tried that here. I think even the county commissioners here about 10 years ago got in on the act and threatened to burn down Ozark Scenic Riverways if the Fed didn't back off, because they were closing county roads, taking people's guns, you know, stuff like that, and county commission had enough of it and said, "You're out of here."
Well, I'll tell you what, I tip my hat to anybody, especially local elected leaders, state elected leaders, that are willing to stand up and do something about it, because just way too many become co-opted. And from my perspective, and eventually I'm sure this whole discussion will kind of shift to maybe what happened in Nevada in 2014, happened in Oregon earlier this year, and I think that's what happened in both those places. The local governments, they've just become completely co-opted with the federal government and have not been willing to stand up for the rights of their own local residents.
Right. I absolutely agree with you, Todd, on that one. Now, in your bio, I'm talking about, you know, the Finucane family and the standoff out there and all. One question I got is what, you know, to me, I'm not criticizing anybody. To me, these people decided to make a stand at the wrong place at the wrong time, in my mind. I'm not saying they weren't right. I'm just saying their choice is what I question.
Sure. I think a lot of people have
refuge.
Right. I think a lot of people have made the same observation, and even at that time, a lot of, you know, and one thing about it, in the time since then, you know, since January 2016, still the same year, but we've kind of had an opportunity to see how the sheep and the goats separate, even within the so-called Patriot movement, you know, And so even within, I call it the so-called Patriot movement, because in that amount of time, I've had the opportunity to rub shoulders with a whole lot more people than I had ever had the opportunity to rub shoulders with before. And you know what? They're just not all cut from the same cloth.
No.
You know, there's serious issues within that whole, you know, whatever, however we want to characterize it. But some of the most credible leaders, if you will, of the movement were saying exactly the same thing at that time. Wow,
right.
You know, how and why would you choose this time, this place, to ask people to do this sort of thing? It's really inconvenient. It's, you know, so that's a legitimate observation, the same kind of thing that, you know, I felt much the same way. I've written fairly extensively about this, and it was, you know, it's a legitimate observation. I'll just leave it at that.
Right. Well, I just was trying to get into their, you know, what their thinking was on doing this. You know, maybe they didn't think it out. Maybe that's the answer. I don't know.
Well, let's go back and really explore
The
basis, the underpinnings, because maybe a lot of people don't fully understand why they would, you know, kind of undertake the audacious move of going out to this little-known federal wildlife refuge in southeast Oregon in the middle of winter and make a big fuss, you know. Really, it all comes back to Dwight and Stephen Hammond. And those are names that a lot of people may not be familiar with, but they're ranchers in southeast Oregon, in Harney County, who basically they own a ranch that adjoins the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, and they'd been kind of locking horns with the refuge and with the federal government for probably at least 20 or more years.
Right.
And the bottom line is the refuge wanted to push them out. I talked about how the federal government is trying to push people off the land. Well, there's no question about it. The refuge wanted to push them out. They wanted to acquire their ranch. They wanted to get rid of them. And there's a track record of just continual expansion of that refuge. I mean, there was a big, I can't remember exactly the time frame, when there was a major expansion that resulted when basically the federal government flooded out a whole bunch of the adjoining ranchers. And they did that deliberately so that they would kind of lose spirit and pack up and leave, and they ended up acquiring a lot of that. I hear some music, Tim. Do you need to take a break, or how does that work?
Yeah, we're taking a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes, folks. Call in numbers 800-313-9443.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
These are uncertain and very unstable times we live in. We are bombarded daily with the realization that our global economy is on the verge of collapse. Terrorists threaten our way of life and very existence. Natural disasters are increasing to levels never before seen by man. Our overall quality of life is threatened. More and more people are being proactive and are researching how they and their families can survive in the event of any disaster, natural or man-made. Gathering valuable life-saving information and keeping it protected is key to survival. Now, you can keep your valuable life-saving information secure and close for quick access with our Digital Survival Library USB drive. This means no scrambling around to find important information as it is all right in front of you at a moment's notice. For further information and to order your Digital Survival Guide for only $59.95, go to our website, ruralsurvival.info. That's ruralsurvival.info. Do so today. You'll be glad you did.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Rural Survival Show. We're back. This is your host, Tim Spencer, and today is Saturday, December 17, 2016. We're visiting with Mr. Todd McFarland, and we're having an incredibly interesting conversation. Where'd we leave off, Todd? I lost my train of thought, and I apologize.
Not a problem. We were talking about the Hammonds and kind of what led up to the what is often referred to as the Oregon standoff at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, the armed occupation there. And again, I'm sure that there are some people that have some familiarity with the background behind that whole story, but I think it's the backstory that there are a fair number of people that don't really understand.
I agree.
Is that these Hammonds, really good family, salt-of-the-earth kind of people out there trying to scratch out a living on a cattle ranch in this tough, arid desert environment in southeast Oregon, but anyway, the federal government was trying to push them out. And so one of the problems that has become, you know, pretty serious throughout the West in the last 10 or 20 years, and I know other places too, but here in the West where we've got so much federal land, and kind of the way I would articulate it is that based on the way the federal government has been managing a lot of these lands, we've experienced a lot of real devastating wildfires, and that seems to be a growing trend. But wildfires hit southeast Oregon a lot. In fact, the Malheur Refuge is actually kind of a center or a base for wild land fire fighters. They have a big watchtower there. They've got dormitories for firefighters, that sort of thing. But anyway, there's often a lot of fires in that area. And this goes back, you know, about a decade. There were actually two fires that were on the Hammond Ranch, and in one of those cases, Hammond, there was a big wildfire coming across the federal range, basically range managed by the Bureau of Land Management. So they started a backfire on their own private property to try to kind of stop that fire from coming in. They did that as a management practice, basically, which is not uncommon. And anyway,
no, we've done it here on the farm.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's done. I mean, throughout agricultural areas all over the place, you know, and I do that sort of thing on my ranch too. Anyway, they did that, and they were not able to completely control that fire, but we're talking about a place where we're dealing with tens, if not hundreds of thousands of acres. I mean, this is big, wide open country, and as a result of that backfire, it ended up kind of unintentionally burning about the forage on about 140 acres of BLM land. The thing we need to realize is that even that land was part of their federal grazing allotment. And so, you know, they basically had a right to the forage. I mean, that's the bottom line there.
And 140 acres isn't anything size-wise. I mean, that's nothing.
Well, out here, you know, I know places where 140 acres is, you know, that's big. That's a big deal, you know. But in Harney County, Oregon, 140 acres, I mean, even the federal court judge determined that the value of the forage burned or consumed was less than $1,000. Less than $1,000 worth of damage, but because of how they were charged, they ended up, and it's interesting how this happened. The trial, it was a jury trial, it went on for quite a while, and finally, they were just wore out, they were beat down, they'd been dealing with this for years. They finally cut a deal right in the middle of the trial. They cut a deal with the prosecutors, and they said, okay, we just want to get this over with. We want to reduce our risk a little bit. We're going to cut a deal. We're going to go ahead and plead guilty and just be done with this. So, I mean, you want to talk about some oppressive terms. The federal government required them to pay a fine. Now, get this, a fine of $400,000.
Wow.
$400,000, and it also said that if they were not able to meet that obligation, that the BLM could just come in and take their ranch. And if they ever wanted...
Todd, hold that thought, buddy. We've got a break, our bottom of the hour break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 4 minutes. Call-in number is 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time.
If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it?
That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
December 2016. Personal note, tomorrow, the 18th of December, makes my wife and my 36th anniversary. We're quite proud of ourselves considering we met 3 days before we were married and it's lasted all this time. So, great wife, great shout out to Lori. Best wife in the world, in my opinion. Anyway, we are visiting with Mr. Todd McFarland, who is the editor-in-chief, I guess you'd call it, of rangefire.us. Great site. I look at it almost daily now, looking for updates and stuff like that. Todd, we were talking about the standoff, right? About what?
Right. We were talking about the backstory, kind of the Hammond right. story, I'll call it, that led up to the standoff.
Okay. You know, you were talking about that backfire that burned a whole 140 acres, big deal. You know, we've intentionally burned that much, you know, me helping some of my friends. You know, what we do, we all get together. Well, I say we all, you know, group 12, 15 neighbors, and if there's a field to get burned off, we do little fires around the edges and then burn the center, and that's how we control it. And, of course, we don't do it on super low humidity or windy days.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, this is a common practice. But I can't believe they were prosecuted for it. I mean, it's just so silly.
Right, exactly. And it's part of the whole, you know, it's what people need to understand, that they were targeted. The federal government, I mean, It's the sort of thing that could happen in all kinds of places, in your neck of the woods, in my neck of the woods, on
right.
Ranches throughout the West. But in this case, the Hammonds happen to be the people that the federal government was trying to push off. And so they just, I mean, there was a whole history of things that the federal government had been doing. But anyway, they end up cutting a deal mid-trial. And basically, they knew that they were going to have to pay this horrendous amount of money. They were going to have to sell off some property and some cattle and some assets to be able to do that. But they had a little bit of time to do it. But the thing that they, I mean, they were hoping not to have to spend, you know, years and years in federal prison. And it's hard to imagine that anyone would have to spend a day in federal prison for a situation like that that resulted in consumption of less than $1,000 worth of forage under those circumstances. But the thing that I guess we all need to understand is that we have something called federal sentencing guidelines. So once they entered the plea, then it was out of the prosecutor's control, it was out of the jury's control. So the judge in this case, federal court judge, in fact, who retired on the day that he sentenced the Hammonds and basically said, I understand the deal that's been made and everything. I'm going to sentence Dwight to 3 months. That's the father. He was 73 years old.
Yeah.
Stephen, the son, in his 40s. He said, I'm going to sentence Dwight to 3 months. I'm going to sentence Stephen to 1 year. And even that, to most people, would seem more than ample punishment along with everything else. But this vindictive Oregon U.S. attorney appealed the sentence and said
I read about that.
And so what it boils down to is now, since 9/11, the federal government has these new minimum, well, they call them mandatory minimum terrorism enhancements. And so that's what they were asking for, is a terrorism enhancement that included a mandatory minimum 5-year sentence for both of them. And
oh,
so
man.
5 years. And so the judge said, I can't justify that. I'm not going to do it. He sentenced them, again, 1 to 3 months, the other one to a year. And they served that time. They reported that was all part of the deal, that they thought that's what was going to happen. Well, this vindictive U.S. attorney, this doesn't happen very often. I mean, it's not unusual that a defendant, of course, will appeal either a sentence or a conviction for a variety of reasons, but it's not that often that the government appeals, and especially in this case where they'd cut a deal, these guys were doing time, but they appealed the sentences, trying to insist that the Hammonds would do more time. It went to a three-member panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Ooh. I want to be careful about how I characterize these people that are on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
I don't got to be careful. I know you do because you're an attorney, but I don't. Folks, they're jerks. They're idiots.
So I'll let you use the characterizations, but they reversed the sentence and said that they needed to be resentenced in accordance with these federal mandatory minimum terrorism enhancements and serve basically a full 5 years each. And so that's the backstory. That was what was going on. That all happened in the fall of 2015, October, November. It was about that time that it came on my radar screen. And here in the West, everybody was talking about it. All the major ranching publications, you know, Livestock Weekly, Western Livestock Journal, Capital Press, everybody was publishing editorials talking about the travesty of what was going on, the injustice of what was happening. But it's about that time that Ammon Bundy became aware of it as well. And, you know, I've heard Ammon's story now multiple times. He felt compelled, and this is the way I characterize it at this point, you know, for those who know what happened to the Bundys in Bunkerville, Nevada in 2014, that's another part of the backstory. So you got two families' stories converging here, basically, is what's going on. You've got the Hammond family, and then you've got the Bundy family. And the Bundy family, they ranch in southeast Nevada. And they basically had become the last families ranching in the entirety of Clark County. There had been, 20 years earlier, 53 ranchers, neighbors of theirs, all of whom had been pushed out except the Bundys, who out of just sheer stubbornness, hard-headedness, whatever you want to call it, you know, just hung on, kept going. But at a certain point in time, they told the federal government basically to take a hike in terms of ongoing management. They said, we have a pre-existing right that our ancestors acquired by prior appropriation and beneficial use to this forage and this water. We're going to continue to use that, and you want us to pay you administrative fees, but we're just basically paying you to try to manage us out of business, just like you have done all these other ranchers, so we're not going to keep doing that, you know?
Right.
And so, but they continued to ranch, and then by 2014, the federal government said, well, if that's the case, we're going to impound and remove all your cattle from these ranges. And so they started amassing, mobilizing forces, which included, I mean, paramilitary operations, basically, is what it boiled down to, both cowboys, you know, to round up the cattle, helicopters, and 200 or more security contractors. These are basically mercenaries that are there
in full battle rattle. They are, believe me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've seen the pictures, and I was in Bunkerville in 2014 in April in a media role. I was there, like I said, basically as a correspondent for a couple of alternative media outlets, and so I was there observing, taking pictures, and writing about what was going on. I wrote fairly extensively about that at the time. And had an opportunity to basically have a front row seat to what was going
on. Todd,
and
Todd, we've got a caller on the line. We've got Steve from California on line three. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good show.
Good morning.
You know, this was just eminent domain. They would have they had the perfect opportunity with the backfire, but had that not happened. It's another thing they probably would have done is just wandered on your land, pulled a lizard out of their pocket, thrown it down, and say, hey, look, a rare lizard. We got to shut this place down. That's how they do it out here in California. If they want land, they always find some rare insect or some rare animal and lizard or turtle or something, and then they say, well, we have to take this land. It's now a national habitat. So they're very cunning in what they do, but my guess, that's probably what they would have done. They tried that with the desert tortoise, didn't they? Tried that a while back. Of course, they were bringing in all the heavy equipment to put in that solar panel factory from, I guess, Harry Reid was behind that whole deal with his son. So, you know, they're very tricky. These guys are very tricky how they do it.
Well, you're absolutely right. They had used those tactics to push 50-plus ranchers out in southeast Nevada that had been Cliven Bundy's neighbors, and they did it exactly the way you've described.
Yeah, very, very tricky, these guys. Yeah, that's the big plan. The big plan is to force people off, kind of force them in a closed area here and take all this land away, and then basically that's how they're going to control you. You know, that's the whole plan of controlling people, kind of push them all in one direction, one area.
Well, I think it's two things. It's to control people by, like you say, pushing them, and they want to get rid of, in my opinion, the independent-type people that are out there living fairly self-sufficiently, understand how to do that, have the resources available to do that. So they're trying to control the people, but they're also trying to control all the resources, all the natural resources, so that nobody has access to it. I mean, I think those two things go hand in hand.
Well, just look how hard it is to live off the grid. I mean, you have to have their permission to live off the grid. I mean, you think that would be a great thing. What, you're living off the grid, you're not using all this electricity, you found a way to cut your cost down, minimize, and they say no. No. So that kind of tells you of their plan to control the resources. If they don't allow you to live off the grid, and you can invent something and they're not going to allow you to use it, I mean, that pretty much makes your story true right there.
Well, I mean, that's one of the challenges. I mean, here probably all of us think that trying to be independent, self-sufficient, you know, that sort of thing is a good thing. But they don't view it as a good thing. Those guys, right. You know, the people that are trying to be self-sufficient, they're on the other side of the fence. They want to get rid of those people, and so that's one of the challenges that we've got.
I agree. Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Steve. Yeah, you know, Steve, I think, is right. They are trying to get rid of anybody that's independent, and, they don't allow you to live off the grid out there in California. From what I read, they're actually fining people for not being hooked up to electricity. You know, here, if you don't want electricity, you just forget to pay your bill. They cut it off in a heartbeat.
it's interesting that that's probably true. The sad part is, and we always want to talk about this in terms of, you know, the federal government this, the federal government that, but what I have learned through sad experience is that that kind of thinking has infiltrated all the way down from the federal government to the state and local governments. Now,
right.
In a lot of places, including where I live, even if they'll say, okay, don't pay your power bill, we'll cut it off. But if you want to install, say, a solar system so that you could live off-grid or wind generator, those sorts of
right.
things, there's all kinds of restrictions on that, and they want you to jump through all kinds of hoops to get permits and to pay money for it and to have their permission 6 ways from Sunday, make it as difficult as possible. And that's not just the federal government doing that. That's even state and local governments. I think
right.
across the board, our governments tend to want everyone to be as dependent as possible on them at whatever level.
And that's why I'm so happy to live where I do. Here, you don't need a permit for anything. You know, no building permits, no permits to put up a fence, no permits like they have to get in Florida for cutting down trees. None of that is here. In fact, we built our house here without one single permit, not one. You know, we didn't have to ask anybody's permission to do anything.
And, well, I'm sure you've got a lot of listeners, Tim, that are probably very envious of that aspect of it, including me. I'm very envious. I mean, I deal with that sort of thing all the time. I call it navigating the minefield because I try to figure out ways to navigate the minefield. I won't say more than that, but
I understand.
It's tough. It's tough. And if you're not kind of that mindset to attempt to navigate the minefield, it's really tough. So I'm envious.
Yeah, and it's great. You know, I've moved here when I got out of the Navy 26 years ago from South Carolina. And, of course, you know, when we built up enough money, we decided to build a house. Our kids were young, place for them to grow up. You know, 3,000-square-foot house, built most of it myself. And, you know, I was so surprised. No permits required, you know. And thankfully, I didn't go up to the courthouse and ask anybody. It took them 2 years to figure out we even built a house to taxes.
Right.
You know, which is fine. I said, I couldn't find a law that said I had to report building my house. And they said, well, there isn't one, but you should have.
Sure.
You know.
Right.
So it worked out great.
Right.
Yeah, I truly feel for people. All I was going to say about is I truly feel for people that have to jump through all these hoops, you know. And if I would recommend that if people live in an area like I do, to put it, you know, if you're going to set up, if you have money to set up an off-grid system, do it now before there's, you know, new laws come out and permits required. because then you'll most likely be grandfathered in.
Right. Yeah. That a lot of times is the case, and so sometimes it feels like time of the essence. I want to get back to that whole Bundy story and how it converges with Hammond's. But on the other hand, I was tempted to ask you a question, Tim, that might
by all means
take us off on a tangent that who knows if we'll ever get back to it. What would you prefer? Should we ask the question, or what should we do?
Ask the question, by all means.
Okay. You know, it's interesting, and I'm kind of in this boat, too, and I rub shoulders all the time
with
people.
Todd,
who,
yes, you need to take another break. Yeah, sorry about that. It's a hard break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Call in numbers 800-313-9443.
Time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Rural Survival Show. I am your host, Tim Spencer. Today is 17 December 2016, and we're visiting with Mr. Todd McFarlane. Todd, we've got a caller on the line, and by the way, don't forget that question you wanted to ask me. But right now we've got Mike in Colorado on line 3. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I got a quick take on the Bundy-Hammond thing, and I wanted your opinion on it. The Bundys chose not to contract again with the federal government, and then they had the means and the will to back up their do not, will not comply mentality. The Hammonds did contract with them by agreeing to go back into court to re-up the punishment for the sentence, and it wasn't until the Bundys went up to help them that they wound up in jail. So my take on it is don't contract with the state under any circumstances at any time.
So Tim, do you have an opinion about that?
I mean, it would have to be, each situation would have to be looked at individually. I'm not saying you're wrong, Mike, okay? But there could be some advantageous contracts with the state, too, you know, that have nothing to do with your property. And if you shut them off completely, who knows, you might not get to log the 600 acres that you wanted to log, you know, stuff like that. So I would say look at each individual thing separately. What do you think, Todd?
Well, you know, in that situation out here in the West, and again, there's kind of a little bit of potentially apples and oranges comparison between all potential opportunities to contract with government versus what goes on here in the West, because there are all of these what are referred to as federal grazing allotments. And
okay,
my position is, and the way it worked out here in the West, for people who don't really understand that part of the backstory, you know, people came out here and homesteaded, and they could get anywhere between 160, 320, 640 acre homesteads with water.
Right.
They had to prove up on that. In other words, they had to move on to the land. They had to take possession of it. They had to put it to beneficial use. They had to improve it. They had to do all of that stuff. But out here in the arid West, even 640 acres in a lot of places isn't enough acreage to actually make a living to support a family. And there was all this additional surrounding country, much of which hadn't been homesteaded or claimed by someone else, but was still suitable for livestock grazing. And so those areas became these federal grazing allotments that those homesteaders, those ranchers, put to beneficial use, and they acquired this right. They acquired a private property interest in the forage, in the water, despite the fact that the federal government still claimed to own the surface estate. These ranchers acquired a private property interest in the forage and in the water. But what happened, and this happened really, and the federal government was kind of headed this direction and kind of leading these ranchers down this primrose path for years, for decades, like they do with so many things. But in 1976, the federal government passed the federal, I'm trying to remember the acronym, FLIPMA is the acronym, stands for Federal, Federal Lands Policy Management Act. It used to be on the tip of my tongue, but Federal Lands Management Policy Act. And under FLIPMA, it required these ranchers to now start to contract with the federal government and operate under a grazing permit. They already had a grazing right on these federal... Yes.
Todd, we've got our top of the hour break right now. It's hard break, folks. We'll be back in 2 minutes. The call-in number is 800-313-9443.
Your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle